Amen. John looked one day and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God
Amen.
That taketh away the sin of the world."
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
God put down a plan, the plan of salvation before the foundation of the world. He had that plan. And that plan would mean that there would be a shedding of blood. For without the blood, there is no remission of sins. And God set down a plan that the Lamb of God, the lambs would be offered, but there would be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I'm glad that He came. Glad that He came. Amen. Thank the Lord this morning.
Good to be in the house, Lord, this morning. Sure, it's good to see every one of you here today. Has been a little while. I'm thankful Lord allowed us to come back this morning and be in service with you today. Matthew chapter number 5, and then we'll also be in Exodus chapter number 34. Try our best to share with you the thought that the Lord's laid on our heart for this morning. It is a joy to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I appreciate Brother Mark. I love him and thank the Lord for his faithfulness. And I appreciate him giving us this opportunity and entrusting us to fill in for him as he's gone. I don't take that lightly. It's a great honor and a privilege, and I sure do thank the Lord for it. Trust, pray, Lord, to help us there, do something, be a help and encouragement to you this morning. Matthew chapter number 5, I want to read 4 verses there, and then we'll turn over to Exodus chapter number 34. The Bible said, Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Then in Exodus chapter number 34, 2 verses, verse number 29 and 30, the Bible said, "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the 2 tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he had came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him." Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you once again, Lord, it is our honor and our privilege, Lord, to be back in your house this morning with your people. Lord, I'm thankful for this church and this people, Lord. I've known a lot of them a long time. Lord, I'm thankful for their faithfulness, Lord, and serving you and being what you'd have them to be. And I'm thankful, Lord, this morning for the privilege, Lord, to be in service with them this morning. I thank the Lord for Brother Mark and Miss Angela, Lord, and their faithfulness, Lord, and serving you. And I pray that you bless Brother Mark as he stands to preach for his dear friend this morning. God, you touch him and help him and use him in a special way. Lord, I pray, Lord, you be with us here as well this morning. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that you can be in every place all the time, Lord, any time, and I'm thankful for that this morning. Lord, you can help there and help here all at the same time, and I pray that you touch us and help us, Lord, this morning. I pray that you give us liberty and unction to preach this morning. I pray that you lead and guide and direct every word from our mouths. Lord, I pray that nobody would see me, but Lord, they'd see you high and lifted up and hear from heaven this morning. Lord, I'd just be a mouthpiece. Lord, that you'd do the preaching this morning, that God the Holy Ghost would take your word beyond our ears and plant it deep in our hearts, Lord, to give us understanding. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd encourage us this morning and help us, Lord, to draw nigh to you. Lord, I pray especially, Lord, if they'd been here lost this morning, never been saved by the grace of God, that God the Holy Ghost would draw them unto you. Lord, they might get saved this morning before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we don't know anybody's heart, Lord, but you do. Lord, you know where each and every one of us stand with you and what we stand in need of today. I pray that you'd speak to us accordingly, Lord. Let you have your own way in all it's said and done this morning. And Lord, once again, all that you do, we'll try our very best to thank you and praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we humbly pray, and amen.
Amen.
Very familiar scripture for our text this morning. I'm interested in a simple little thought this morning, nothing new this morning, but I hope and pray it'd be fresh and it'd be a help to us this morning. We used to sing a song growing up as little children. I'm sure all of you can probably imagine already what I'm referring to. We would sing as kids, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's the thought that the Lord's put on our heart for this morning, this little light of mine. I was listening one day as I was working around the house. I like to put on some good preaching or good singing to listen to while I'm working around the house. That's a good time. It's just quiet, just me and the Lord. And I was listening to one of a dear preacher friend of mine that's done gone home to be with the Lord, but he was preaching and encouraging me, Brother Ben, and helping me. And I began to think about his life and the influence that he had in my life and how he helped me and encouraged me growing up, especially as a young preacher, and the legacy that he left behind. But I begin to think about other men of God that's done gone home and went home to be the Lord, and how they made an influence and impact on my life. And their legacy still lives on, but the thought come to my mind how that their light has gone out. They're still not physically shining. Their legacy does live on. They still have a testimony. And thank the Lord for technology. We can still go back and hear them preach messages that they had preached in years gone by. And it can still be a help to us today. But physically speaking, through their life and their actions, they're no longer here with us. Their light's no longer shining. And it seemed like the more I thought about it, it seemed like the darker the world felt. I mean to know that some of those great men of God that I grew up as my heroes, Brother Brandon, I looked up to and wanted to be like and thought very highly of, made a difference in my life. Hey, it was almost discouraging to me and almost troubling to me that those lights had gone out. And sadly, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of people coming along behind them, taking their place, filling in the gaps and filling in their shoes. And I begin to think about my life personally, and I begin to wonder, Lord, when I leave one day, if you don't come back soon and take us all out together, and my time comes to go, I just wonder this morning, would anybody notice a difference? Could anybody tell any difference? Would anybody else feel that same effect that I felt in my life, knowing some of those others had gone on? Would anybody take any notice? Am I doing anything in anybody else's life? If I'm doing anything that makes an impact and has an influence in anybody else's life as others have in mine. I begin to think about that passage of scripture we read in Matthew chapter number 5, this little light of mine, and the song we used to sing growing up. And I begin to pray and honestly ask myself and ask the Lord, Lord, how do we really shine? Lord, what does it really take? What's involved? I'm not talking about just saying we're a Christian. I'm not talking about just saying we're a church member. But I'm talking about truly, honestly, living it out through our lives, through our actions, through our conduct and our character, who we are. You can say you're a Christian all day long, you're blue in the face, but I'll tell more about you by how you live, how you walk, how you talk, what comes from the Bible said, but from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We know more about you by how you act than just what you say. I remember growing up all my life, I heard it all my life saying, talk's cheap. It is. It's easy to talk. It don't cost you a whole lot. It doesn't involve a whole lot to talk, but I don't want to just be talk. I want my life to resemble it. I want my life to prove it. I mean, you can prove your faith by your works. We don't believe in a work salvation, but I do believe in a salvation that will work. I believe there'll be some fruit that will bear itself. I believe you'll be able to tell a difference in somebody else's life. I still believe 2 Corinthians 5:17 still says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm thankful even as a church kid, as a preacher's kid, being saved at a young age, there was still a change and still a difference in my life. I believe people ought to be able to tell that we're a Christian. They ought to be able to tell a difference in our lives. They ought to be able to take notice. Hey, there's something different about them. I believe Paul still said it right. I believe it's in Romans chapter number 12. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We are to be separated, to be different. He said we are to be a peculiar people. I begin to look at Moses here in his life, and I know that when I'm talking about letting our light shine, we know that I'm not talking about physically glowing and shining like we've been in some radioactive somewhere. What I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about spiritually speaking, letting our light shine through our actions. Moses here was literally shining. We may not literally be glowing, but I believe the same things that took place in Moses' life, I believe those same things ought to be involved in our life that will let our light shine in a dark world which we're living in. Bible said that Moses didn't even realize that his light was shining. But when he come down off the mountain and being there with God, God giving him those tables of testimony, those commandments, as he come down off that mountain, he was literally glowing and shining. He didn't know it, but everybody that seen him knew it. And it troubled them. It bothered them. They were afraid to even come near him because he was shining. I remember a time in my life when there was certain people that I'd be around, how they had so much God on them and they're so close to God. And you know, brother, they had spent time with God and it was almost like it was an aura around them. You could almost see it around them. It was almost like they were literally shining. I mean, you could just tell it. And I remember times in my life when I wasn't right with God where I needed to be. It made me plumb uncomfortable to be around them. Just because God, the Holy Ghost, was real in their life and manifested and the presence of God was on their life, it made me plumb uncomfortable just being around them. Oh, how we need Christians to have that kind of impact and that kind of influence again today. I'm afraid they're not very uncomfortable around many of us anymore like they used to be. Oh, how we need to, I don't like making people uncomfortable, but if that's what it takes them to get right with God and see they need to get saved by the grace of God, that's what we need to do. We're not called to fit in and to be like everybody else. We're called to be different, to let our light shine so that they can see their need. They're blinded by the things of this world. It's just like a flashlight. I can take a pretty, whatever kind, a mag light, I guess if you want to use an example, you can take a nice, big, shiny, pretty, metal, brand new mag light. But if there's any component missing in that flashlight, it will not shine. It won't do you a bit of good. When the power goes out, you can grab that light and you can flip that switch all you want to. But if all the components are not inside that light, it's not going to produce anything. It's not going to help you any if all the components are not present. If the bulb's missing or the batteries are not there or say the battery's dead, whatever it may be, whatever's missing, it hinders the whole thing. It's not just going to produce a little light. It's not going to produce any light. If anything is missing, I begin to look at Moses' life and some things that was involved and some components in Moses' life that I believe allowed him to shine in his life. We back up a couple of chapters in Exodus chapter number 33, and we'll find in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses. Till he was gone into the tabernacle, and it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." I want to say, first of all, one thing that was involved in Moses' life that allowed him to shine was his relationship with the Lord. Moses, I mean, if anybody had a relationship with the Lord, we'd have to agree this morning, it'd be Moses. More times in the Word of God, not just in the Old Testament, but even in the New Testament, it's referenced over and over and over again. The Bible says the Lord spake unto Moses. God told Moses. The Word of the Lord came into Moses. I mean, just over and over and over. We see time and time again the dialogue between the Lord Himself and Moses. I mean, I like what the Bible says there. It said He spake to him face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. You're talking about a good reputation. You're talking about a good testimony to be the friend of God. That's what Moses had. That's the testimony. And the reputation that Moses had was that he was the friend of God. He didn't just know about God, but he knew Him personally. And that's what I want to drive home this morning. First and foremost, if you're going to let your light shine in a lost and dying world, in the dark world which we're living in, you're going to have to know Him. I'm not talking about just knowing about Him, but you will have to know Him personally and a free pardon of sin, saved by the grace of God, trust Him as your personal Savior, not just knowing about Him, but know Him personally. I knew a lot about Him, Brother Benjamin. I mean, I grew up in church all my life just like you did. Preacher's home's all we'd ever known. I mean, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and every service, and every get together, and any involvement in between. I mean, just all we knew. I knew every Bible story. I knew about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and Noah, and Daniel, and David, and all the other Bible stories. I knew all about that. I knew about the Lord. I knew what the Bible said. I knew the songs that we sung, and the Sundays. I knew all about that, but I did not know Him personally. I knew a lot about Him, but I didn't. The Bible said the devils believe and tremble. They probably know a lot more about him than you and I do. They've seen things and experienced things that you and I don't even know anything about, but they're not saved. There's a lot of worldly people. There's college professors and people that have devoted their life to studying this right here, probably a lot more than we have, but they don't know him. They know a lot about him, but they don't know him. I know a little bit about some people, but I don't know them. I don't have a relationship with them. I can't tell you anything personal about them except what's public knowledge to everybody else. But I'm glad there's some people that I know. I know a lot. Most of y'all don't know certain people that I know in my life, just like I don't know people in your life, but people that you're close to, you know a lot about. How much do you know about him? How much do you know him personally? I'm glad one day it wasn't just knowing about him. And I'm glad that Monday night revivals with 13-year-old boy, Brother Brandon, it wasn't from just knowing about him. But I'm glad, thanks be unto God, through the convicting power of the Holy Ghost drawing me to him. I'm glad that night I put my faith and trust in him. I wasn't trying to get on mom and daddy's coattail no more. I wasn't trying to make it by my church membership, by my baptism. None of that was interesting to me anymore. But I put my faith and trust in what him and what he did on Calvary, not because of anything good I've done, but because of what he done on the cross. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God, and I knew him personally as my Savior. I'm glad that one day I made it mine. We was listening to that song on the way here, and boy, it was a churn in my heart and blessing me. I'm glad one day it went from being mom and daddy's God, but I made him my God. It became mine. It became personal. He's not just mom and daddy's or grandma and grandma's. He's not just the church's God, but he wants to be your God this morning. If you're here this morning, you don't know him personally. You may have a church membership. You may have a baptism. You may have whatever you want to call it. If you don't know him personally, I promise you, friend, you're missing him. You're missing the mark. There's probably people in hell this morning that sat on a church pew, thought they were saved, and everything was all right. They knew a whole lot about him, but they never knew him personally. I'm glad you can know him this morning. And you not only know him, but you know you're saved by the grace of God. I'm glad it's not a hope-so salvation, but it is a know-so salvation. He said in 1 John, he said, these things I write in you that you may know that you have eternal life. I'm glad we ain't got to go through this thing hoping and worrying and waiting, and we'll wait and see. I'm glad we can know now. I wouldn't wait and see. I wouldn't just hope that I make it, but I'd want to know that I know that I know. His relationship with the Lord. He didn't just know him, but he knew him real well. He was close to him. Many of us that are saved this morning, we know him. We've not spent a lot of time with him. We don't know him as well as we could this morning. We're not as close to him as we could be this morning. He was a friend of God. Not only his relationship to the Lord, but notice his reliance on the Lord. We go on in chapter number 33, verse number 12. The Bible says, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Notice what he said in verse number 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Lord said, my presence is going to go with you, and I'll give you rest. And just to put it in our terms, Moses said, well, it's a good thing, because if you ain't going with me, I ain't going either. He said, carry me not up thence. If thou goest not with us, carry me not up thence. He said, if you're not going, if this thing's up to me, we're never going to make it. We're not going to get very far. We're not going to accomplish anything. If you don't go with us and you don't help us, we're not going to make it. Moses realized where his help come from. He realized this thing wasn't about him. It wasn't about Aaron or anybody else. It was all about the Lord. If they was going to make it there, they was going to have to depend on him. Moses knew who it was that brought him out of Egypt. Moses knew who it was that sent the plagues. Moses knew who it was that parted the Red Sea. Moses knew the one that fed them the manna and the water and supplied all their needs and took care of. Moses knew where it come from. If we're going to do anything for God, if we're going to let our light shine, if we're going to make a difference, if we're going to impact other people's lives and be the influence that God would have us to be, we're going to have to depend on him. Amen. We're going to have to depend on him. This ain't about us. It's about him. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. I look at Paul's life and all the things that Paul did and all the things that Paul suffered and went through. If anybody, it seems like, had a right to brag, if anybody had a right to seem to glory or to boast in what they'd done or what they'd endured for the cause of Christ, you'd think it'd be Paul. But Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Paul also wrote, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians, he said, preaching for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto them which are saved it is the power of God. He goes on in chapter number 2, he says in verse number 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He said, it wasn't in anything special about me, and it wasn't enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, but it was in the power and the Spirit, demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God that he preached to them and that he made a difference. I believe Paul was an educated man. Paul probably knew a whole lot for the time in which he lived in. But he said it wasn't because of education. It wasn't because of charisma or anything enticing or appeasing to me. It was just with the power of God.
Amen.
He said, matter of fact, the preaching to those that perish is foolishness. They don't understand. They think it's crazy. They think it's a waste of time. But thank God those of us who are saved, we know better. I'm glad it is the power of God. What may seem like nothing to this world, I'm glad God thinks very highly of. His reliance on the Lord. He said, if you don't go with us, we're not going to make it. We might as well not even try. Well, there have been some times I've tried on my own. I've tried to stand on my own in my own ability, in my own self, my own whatever talent or gift or ability that I may have or whatsoever. I've tried, and I'm telling you, Brother Brandon, I failed miserably. I'm telling you, there was times when I couldn't get done no faster. I just wanted to crawl under a pew somewhere and dismiss, everybody leave, and me crawl out when everybody's gone. I know what it's like. And I'm telling you, you'll fall flat on your face. It's things about Him, not about us. He said that they, what did he say in Matthew chapter number 5? That they may see your good works and not glorify you. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father. It's not about us getting the attention or the glory or the pat on the back, but it's all about Him. When Moses came off that mountain shining, he did not even realize it. Can I tell you something this morning? When you're letting your light shine the brightest, you're probably not even going to realize it. You're probably not even going to notice the influence that you're having, the impact you're making. You're probably not even going to realize it at the time. That's when you're making the biggest difference. That's when you're having the most influence, when you don't even realize it. His reliance on the Lord. They don't want to notice His request of the Lord. Continue on. Verse number 18, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of a rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. We just got done talking about how Moses was a friend of God. Moses is close to God. Moses has a great relationship with the Lord. He talks to the Lord all the time. But yet of all the things that Moses requested, of all the things that Moses desired, he said, show me your glory. Lord, I want to see you more. I want to know you more. I want to get even closer to you. Moses was not satisfied with his walk, Lord. He was not complacent. He was not stagnant. He wanted to continue his walk and wanted to continue to know the Lord more and to draw closer to the Lord than he already was. I'm afraid one of our biggest problems in our Christian walk is we get complacent. We get satisfied. Lord, I'm closer than I've ever been before. This should be good enough. Well, thank God you're closer than you've ever been before. But that shouldn't be all that we desire. I'm glad God has more to offer. God has more to show. God has more to do in our lives. How you can continue on and get closer and closer and closer. I'm glad there's no limits with God. I'm glad there's nothing that'll hinder you from getting closer to God besides you. We are our only hindrance. I'm glad God's not dangling a carrot over us that just out of reach where we can't get there. I'm glad God wants it as much or more than you and I do this morning. I'm telling you, if we set our heart and our desire on getting closer to Him, we can.
Amen.
Moses, as close as he was to God, he said, show me your glory. I want to see you more. I want to know you more. And I'm telling you, that's my prayer this morning, Brother Brandon. Lord, let me have that same desire that Moses did. God, show me your glory. God, let me get closer. God, let me be in that place. I'm glad he said there is a place by me. I want to get just as close to him in that place that's by him. I won't let that be my desire, is to be closer to you. I'm moving on very quickly. Notice his recognition. We continue on in chapter number 34, and he goes up on the mountain. Well, verse number 5 says, and the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. For it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. Moses not only had a request, Lord, but he had a recognition. As you'll get closer to the Lord, you'll start to recognize some things. The more you see of him, I mean, he's on the mountain, and as I read that passage of Scripture, if I read that, Brother Ben, it's the Lord is proclaiming himself. He said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering. I mean, he's telling about his own greatness. If anybody could tell about the Lord, I don't think anybody could do a better job than the Lord himself of proclaiming his own greatness. And to imagine hearing the Lord and being on the mountain that day as Moses was with the Lord himself, just you and him proclaim to you his own greatness. What a special thing that would be. But as the Lord proclaimed his greatness, Moses noticed something else. As he seen how high and how great and how holy God was, he began to see just how small he was. He said, Lord, he said, we're a stiff-necked people. He said, Lord, pardon our iniquity. He started seeing how holy God was. I'm telling you, the more you see of God and his holiness and his mightiness, the more we see our own filthiness and our own sin and our faults and our failures, and we realize just how small we really are compared to God. I'm telling you, that's a healthy recognition. That's exactly what you and I need to have, is that recognition that he's everything and we're nothing. The more we see of him, I'm telling you, that the more we realize just how small we really are. He said, pardon our iniquity. He said, Lord, we don't, I mean, I can hear in his voice, Lord, we sure don't deserve you, but we sure would love for you to go with us and make us your inheritance. Pardon our iniquity, go with us. He had a realization, a recognition. He realized, he said, we're stiff-necked. That's good, to put it in our terms, stubborn. Are we not stubborn? He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We're stubborn. We're prone to wander. We like to go our own way. Every one of us. It don't matter who we are. We all have those tendencies to want to go our own way. Our flesh loves to have its independence and to have its way. And he realized that. He said, Lord, we're stiff-necked. We're stubborn people. Lord, would you still go with us and help us? My prayer a lot of times is, Lord, would you help me in spite of me? In spite of me, would you have mercy on me and help me anyway? I don't deserve it. I don't deserve your touch. I don't deserve your help. I was praying this morning on the way here, Lord, I don't deserve your touch. I don't deserve your help. Lord, I don't deserve anything this morning. Lord, would you help me anyway? Lord, would you help me in spite of me? Not for me, but would you do it for somebody else? Would you help me? Not because of me. I don't deserve it this morning. Moses had realized, he realized his faults and his shortcomings. I'm reminded trying to remember where it is. I've got it marked. I'm reminded, Paul's writing the church at Philippi. And he says in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you. Me and Amanda was talking a couple nights ago, and she said it just jokingly. She said, we need a brain transplant. She had no idea, Brother Mike, when she said that, boy, it struck a chord with me. And immediately my mind went there to Paul writing to Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I said, that's exactly what we need. We need a change of heart and a change of mind. Quit worrying about ourselves and what we want and what's convenient, what's easiest for us. But to have that same attitude and that same mind that Christ said, I mean, He was God in the flesh, but yet He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Himself the form of a servant. He was born in a manger. I mean, He's King of kings and Lord of lords, but yet He took upon Himself the form of a servant. If He can do that, surely you and I can do that and should do that. Have that mind of Christ to be that servant. Because He goes on in verse number 15 of Philippians chapter number 2, after He tells us to have let this mind be in you, He says in verse number 15 that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. If there's ever been a fitting verse, I feel like, for our country and for us as God's people in the United States of America today, if there's ever been a fitting verse, Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, listen to this, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We are living in a crooked and perverse nation. But I'm thankful by the Word of God we see and we know that even in living in a perverse and crooked nation, I'm glad we can still, as He said, that we can may shine as lights in the world. I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time, people talking about how dark the world's getting. Spiritually speaking, it's a dark world which we live in, and it is. It is dark. We talk about how dark our country's in and how far we've come from God. And we like to point the fingers at politicians and government and leaders and celebrities and all these other people we like to point the finger to. But can I remind you this morning the definition of darkness? I looked it up, Webster's 1828, all the way to now. You can still Google it on your phone. The definition has not changed. The definition of darkness is just simply the absence of light. And I'm telling you this morning, if we want to get upset and point fingers at anybody, if we want to talk about how dark our world's gotten, how dark our country is, we can try to point fingers at anybody else all we want to, but I'm afraid the blame falls on you and I that are saved by the grace of God. If it's dark this morning, it's because we're not shining. I'm telling you, if you're relying on the government and if you're relying on this world to shine, they ain't got no light to shine with. They don't know the Lord. They don't have no components in their life to live right. They're just doing what the Bible says, the way that seemeth right unto a man. They're just doing what feels right and what looks right to the flesh. They have no light to shine. If the world's dark, it's on you and I to let our light shine. I'm not mad at nobody. I'm not here to be mean this morning. I'm hoping I can encourage you this morning. I love you this morning. But I'm telling you, if we want to talk about how dark it is, we are indicting ourselves and we're placing blame on ourselves. If you're depending on this world and the government to let their light shine, you got your hope in a lost cause. They're not saved. How are they going to let their light shine? They're just doing what feels right to the flesh. They have nothing else to go by. There is no new man living in their heart. There's no light to shine. Lost man can't let his light shine. He don't know God. We're dependent on all these other people to shine a light so the world's not dark. I'm telling you, you're going to be very disappointed. They're just doing what comes natural to them. If you're expecting our government and this world to turn things around on their own and get right and do that, it's not going to happen. If we don't want the world and especially our country to be so dark, it's going to be up to us to let our light shine. We're the only ones got a light to shine. We're the only ones. We know the song continuing on. In the passage of Scripture, He gives them some requirements. We're not going to go there for the sake of time, but He talks about separation. He talks about sacrifice. I'll say this, and I'm right now done. Why is it so important that we let our light shine? It reveals what's waiting in the dark for the sinners. Ephesians chapter number 2, He says, we were going according to the course of this world. Before I got saved by the grace of God, I was going with the flow. I was going according to the course of this world, just like everybody else, shoulder to shoulder, elbow to elbow, going the same direction, the same way as everybody else, doing what seemeth right unto a man, just doing what seems right, what feels right, what looks good to the flesh, just going our own way. But I'm thankful that God, the Holy Ghost, shined a light in my heart, and through God's people letting their light shine and living right and doing right in front of me, I'm glad God shined a light and showed me where I was headed at the end of that course. The destination this world is headed for is a destination of darkness and destruction, and I'm telling you, this world's utterly going to burn up one day, and I realize that, and I'm thankful that God showed me there's an off-ramp. I'm glad there's a detour. I'm glad there's a way, the way of a cross. I'm glad the straight and narrow, and I'm glad to exit off the course of this world. But until we let our light shine to those around us that are lost, they're never going to see the need to get saved. They're never going to see the destruction that they're headed for. They can't see because they're walking in darkness. God, help us to shine the light in their life to show them where they're headed if they don't meet the Lord and get saved by the grace of God. It reveals what's waiting in the dark for the sinner. It reproves the saint that won't shine. We need to let our light shine because there's others around us that ain't shining like they should. Like I said before, there's some of them old timers, them old men of God that made me so uncomfortable just being around them. I hadn't read my Bible this week. I mean, something as simple as that, boy, it'd bring me under so much conviction because they had so much God on them, and I know how much time they had spent with God all week. And it convicted my heart and bothered me that I wasn't doing my part, that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. God, help us to let our light shine, to encourage others and to cause others to realize that they need to shine. If you're going to do anything for God, you better hurry and get with it. This thing's about over with. If there's some loved ones that you care about that's lost and you don't want them to die lost out God and go to hell, you better start to shine in your light as high, as hard as you can in this dark world because it's about over with. I'm glad it also reminds Satan who's already won. There's some hard battles along the way. There's some struggles. And hey, some days it feels like we're losing. But I'm telling you, thank God we're on the winning side. The battle ain't over with yet, but I'm glad the victory's already been won. I'm glad the war's already been concluded. It's already been decided. I'm glad the decision's already been made. I'm glad we are on the winning side. Yes, there may still be some hard days and some hard battles between here and there, but I'm glad this world ain't my home, as you sung earlier. I'm glad there's something far better to look forward to for a child of God. I'm glad I'm on the winning side this morning. I'm glad let your light shine. I'm telling you this thing, I know it's discouraging. I know it's frustrating. I'm telling you, it's so frustrating. I think about that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." I thought about that. It says, "Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine." When we try to fit in like everybody else, we try to walk like the world, talk about what we just want to go with the flow. We don't want to ruffle no feathers. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to ripple the waters. We just want to go. I'll just mind my business. You mind your business. We'll just go and do our own little thing, not worry about nothing. You're hiding your light under a bushel. You're not going to let your light shine by being like everybody else. If you're going to let your light shine, you're going to have to be different. You're going to have to walk different. I'm telling you, you walk with the Lord, it's not going to take much. You're going to stick out like a sore thumb. Well, where we're living in today, you ain't got to try very hard to live for the Lord. People are going to notice. You're going to take notice. Hide it under a bushel, no. Won't let Satan get out. I'm telling you, they've been services, Brother Benjamin. God stirred my heart, got on fire for God. Just, I mean, on the mountaintop, glory to God. I mean, worshiping and praising and shouting around. I mean, wonderful. And I mean, it ain't just a few hours later, maybe the next morning you'd cut on the news or the radio, whatever, going whatever it may be. And I'm talking about just in a minute. I mean, Brother Brandon, on Sunday morning, that light was shining so bright, the fire was burning so hard, and I mean, you get to listen to all the things that are going on around us in this world, and if you're not careful, you done let him blow your light out. That light that was burning so strong and so brightly on Sunday morning, you get your eyes on the cares of this world and all the frustration of this world. I'm telling you, it don't take much. I mean, just a little snip of the news or something else our government's doing or some other wicked thing going on in the world. And if you're not careful, it ain't going to take much. He done blew your light out. You done got distracted and done got frustrated and all these things around us. We cannot let those things consume us. I've been there before. It's easy. I mean, you'll get so consumed with the things that are going on. But as long as you're consumed with things going on, You ain't able to shine. Satan done it out. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Pray for revival. Pray that God would send Holy Ghost filled, true fire burning revival in this land and country, and do what you can. Don't get consumed with the things that you can't control. Pray about it and let God work. I'm glad God is in control. There's a lot of things out of our control, but I'm glad there's nothing that's not in His control. Trust the Lord this morning and just let your light shine. I'm telling you, there's people counting on you. There's people depending on you to let your light shine. I realize as a daddy this morning of small children, if I don't let my light shine, I'm going to fall. I'm going to run into something. Eventually, you walk in the dark long enough, you're going to run into something that you can't see. And when I do, there's three boys following behind me. And I'm just going to become an extra stumbling block to them. Something else for them to fall over in the dark if I'm not letting my light shine. There's a lot more dependence. There's a lot more importance on this thing than I'm afraid some of us realize this morning. There's people coming along behind us. They're depending on us to shine the way. They don't have their own light yet. They're depending on mom and daddy to let their light shine. Others around us, family members, co-workers, people at the grocery store, wherever it may be, they're depending on you. They don't have a light. They're depending on you to let your light shine in this dark world. I don't know your heart as we stand. If they don't mind coming and getting us a song on the piano.